This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. This week, we're talking with Elizabeth Toby, the head of marketing, digital, and AI at NICE. And she has an incredible background working with a number of companies in the B2C space and the B2B space. We're going to learn a lot about AI and how we can create a better experience for our customers using this oh-so-fantastic technology. Quick announcement before we get started. If you have an amazing story that you'd like to share or have questions that you'd like me to answer, go to any of the social channels. I am everywhere. If it is a question, please use the hashtag AskShep. I'll either answer the question right there in that social channel, on this show, in my newsletter, which is the Shepherd Letter. You can subscribe to that, or on my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home, which can be found on Apple TV, Amazon, Roku, and you can just simply go to beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv to listen to the episodes. All right, it's time for an interview. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Super excited to talk today.
I am excited too. Now, I have been working with NICE probably for almost 10 years, maybe even a little bit longer. You've been with NICE now for how long?
It's just about 2 years. So maybe you can teach me some things.
I'm sure you're far more immersed into the company than I was, but you have a really interesting past. I'm reading here, you have video games, social media, you work in B2B companies, B2C companies. So let's start with a little bit of history of Elizabeth.
Started working in video games. You will rapidly learn I am a nerd. Loved games, got into that. And I actually love that my B2C experience was the start of my career, because if you really think about it, we are all humans. And so being able to craft great experiences for the workplace is the same as what we do after hours, because we are the same person 9 to 5 and after five. Moved from some, you know, console and PC games to mobile apps into social media, Tumblr and Medium, for those of you out there who are interested in that. And then got into the wild world of B2B tech, worked at small startups, the early onset, on up to large publicly traded companies like NICE. And really, I would say that my bread and butter is about being able to create really good stories that strongly connect to the product. And help build that communication and that relationship between a brand and those who are using the brand. So I like working with really complex, technical, forward-looking companies and trying to tell that story and make it interesting and relevant for the people who are using it.
Yeah, well, I love that you're a nerd. I think most of us have an inner nerd in us, whether they admit it or not. So interesting, you work B2C, move to B2B, and I believe in the B2B world, even though you're sometimes talking to procurement people and you're considered a vendor. You know what? It's still people doing business with people, and the consumer mentality is there. People know what great service looks like, and that's what we talk about on this show, Amazing Business Radio, is great service and great experience. And most of the time, your customers in the B2B world are comparing you to an event or an experience they had in the B2C world. They love their experience with the restaurant down the street. Why can't they remember me? Like, you know, it's that kind of thing. Or maybe the experience of Amazon is so easy and convenient. Why can't you be that easy? Why do I have to always fill out these forms? All kinds of interesting things. Now, new product coming out with NICE. And I always love simplifying the complicated. And AI has become really complicated if you really get into it. It's easy to just go on to ChatGPT and type in questions and interact. But what if you really want to go to the very next level or even deeper? And what NICE is doing is simplifying really a customized AI solution, I think is the best way of saying it. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. And I think, to frame the conversation, AI is not new. We've been using it for quite some time. I would
Decades.
posit, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say many of the tools and technologies we know and love today have something that we would call AI powering them. I think that, the big sea change that happened in the last year, I think it's November 2022, we say the world changed, is that generative AI and this mass media, this really easily consumable in the consumer level and as an individual concept that we know as ChatGPT hit the scene, which really opened folks' eyes to what this kind of technology could do. So there was a new component to it, but there was also this accessibility and this usability that could allow people to get to test it, try it out, see its value, and start to dream what it could do for your personal and your professional life. But Enlighten is, yes, it's conversational AI, it's generative AI, but it is a lot more than just those flavors, varieties, however folks want to call it, of AI. And these models are built on billions of customer interactions that we have been collecting for as long as we have been a company. And so that allows us to build a very specialized form of AI, purpose-built and tailor-built just for customer experience, to be able to create those phenomenal interactions that have the right outcome. And again, that is a general statement that depends on the company, their goals, what industry, what country they're in, but allowing whether it's a customer experience or an employee experience to be able to have that effective outcome that is being powered by AI in a very collaborative way that's helping boost us in ways that previously we haven't been able to attain.
Right. So you've created this series of commercials. They're very fun videos. You can go on YouTube, just type in nice, enlighten, or maybe just nice, but you'll find these. There's, I think, two or three of them out right now. One is The Race Is On, and it's all these people running through an office. What's the coach's name? Coach,
Steve.
what is it?
Steve.
Coach Steve. And the most recent commercial I love, where a bunch of these corporate people are trying to put together a rocking chair. And it's complicated because when you go to incorporate any solution, not just AI, but any type of solution or a platform that's new, you're piecing these things together and you're working out the kinks and everything. And then there's the coach over there. It opens up the box and it's a perfectly made rocking chair ready to go. And I think that's the message we need. We need more, less, we need less complicated. We need more items, more solutions, whatever, that just don't take so much of our time and effort. All right. So let's jump into some really important questions that I think the general audience want to know about. Today, more than ever, and my research shows this in our annual consumer research, but I think it doesn't matter. Consumer, B2B, customers want personalized experiences on the platforms that they choose to do business with. So let's start with that as a title, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is very important. And again, when we talk about the idea of personal and professional lives, we've seen this in our personal lives, and I don't see why it should change for businesses to consider this. I would say back in ye olde day of the early 2000s, folks were thinking about, driving to forums, figuring out how to get your website, and maybe those owned channels are important. But in this world of communication where we all have computers in our pockets, we are all operating on different time scales with different needs and different preferences. It's really important to be able to meet your customers where they want to be met and when they want to be met and communicate with them. I just had a frustrating experience with a brand last night. And as it was happening, I was in my way furious at the channels and the interactions and what was going on, but thinking this is an incredible case study that I will absolutely talk about immediately at work. And one of the things that bugged me was, I was getting home very late from an event, and so I was having a conversation via chat, and I said, I have to go to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning and I said, okay, let's continue this, let's solve this problem, everything had to be restarted to the point of reverifying, relogging in, readdressing my problem, getting to know an agent. And all I wanted to do was say, like, can I please talk to your stakeholder and sell them autopilot right now? Because that would solve this problem for me so well. But I think the important thing there is not to talk about what channel I was using, what device I was using, how I was talking about it, but about that idea of, do I want to solve the problem in real time? is it going to be asynchronous because we know our customers get busy, need to go to sleep, et cetera? And how do we keep that persistence and that context and support the customer's needs so I'm not frustrated, but also support the next agent there so they can pick up and that they don't have tools that make them re-authenticate or over-authenticate or backtrack or make me wait while they review case files. And so really what we're looking to do with some of these use cases with Enlighten is to be able to deliver those experiences to folks and be able to deliver them seamlessly and in the context that's necessary for the customer, which again will depend on industry, on brand, and on consumer behavior.
Yeah. The other day I wrote an article within the last 2 or 3 weeks about how, and I'll use the example of going to the doctor's office. Okay. I needed an MRI and I go there and they say, you have to fill out these forms. Okay. And okay, I'll fill out the forms. Now, by the way, I learned I could have done this online, but all the forms, many of them ask for the exact same information. They want my name, my phone number, I don't know, social security number, address, all that. So then I thought, okay, I do it. And it takes about 15 minutes to do. Well, the next doctor I went, because now that I got my MRI, now I have to go visit a new doctor, right? They said, do it all online. So I did it online. And you know what? I was surprised because all the information that I filled out when I went to the next page, it wasn't filled out again. The same exact request, name, all that. Why can't they make a system that like to your, I think you use autopilot or autopopulate would even be a better word because that's what it is. And even that would have been better than having to type the whole thing out again and again. But if I give you information over here, there's no reason I shouldn't have it over there. It's like an omni-channel document experience.
Exactly. And I really think that it's important to think about that. And, you know, we have a luxury here at NICE of, you know, having a history. And so we have both a breadth and depth of solutions that I think help companies, depending on where they are in their journey and what use cases and what needs and what pain points they're trying to solve for. But everything about our AI solution is also embedded into our CX platform, which allows us to be able to take all of that native or third-party data that is happening in every point within a customer journey and bring it in and feed it into our AI so that engine is continually learning, evolving, growing, and getting smarter. And that means, you know, based on every customer interaction, the automation and the self-service can get smarter, can evolve, but all of that data can get fed to agents, to supervisors, to operational leaders to fundamentally change how they're working and make them more agile and be able to help them make decisions faster, which I think is one of the problems. We're all struggling with having so much data right now and no ability to actually analyze it and take action on it. And the idea of even, you know, you have all of the money and all the resources to hire this small army of data scientists. It still takes them time to gather, collect, analyze, and then output. And I would say that the amount of time that takes right now without any kind of AI assistance is too long, that the market demands answers and evolution faster than right now that process can allow. And so being able to give this collaborative boost is what we need to really get ahead and push business forward as fast as we need it to.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. You just mentioned digital or self-service, and I want to get into that. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. I want to wrap up on the whole concept of the personalized experience. And then I want to get into this gap between what customers are expecting with the self-service solutions that some brands are offering versus what they actually have been offering. I think there's a little lag right now. There's companies that are totally getting it and they're setting the bar high for everyone. And then there's these other companies that go, well, like, do I really need to do that? And the short answer is you absolutely do. But let's talk about that and a whole lot more. We are talking with Elizabeth Toby from NICE, and we will be right back after this. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position and responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic. those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio. We're talking with Elizabeth Tobey, the head of marketing, digital, and AI at NICE, which, by the way, is a very nice company. Pun intended. As I mentioned, I've had the luxury of working with NICE over the years. I believe I even worked with NICE and then InContact came along. Is that right?
Yep.
And then they combined, and I don't see InContact as much these days, but InContact
is really the brainchild that became CXone and then some. You know, we're very smart in how we grow, and they were incredibly important, brilliant people. I'm very glad to still be able to work with them, and that team is phenomenal.
Yeah. So where is Interactions? When is Interactions?
Interactions is June 10th through 12th. In Las Vegas.
As usual.
Yeah. So you can type in NICE Interactions, I'm sure, and sign up if you're interested. We're selling tickets now. Going to be a great slate of folks between customers, product folks at NICE. We have some different specific speakers around there to talk about customer experience, digital, AI. So it'll be quite a large swath of folks to really talk about knowledge and how they got there and what problems they were facing and how NICE helped them solve those problems.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And there are lots of great speakers, panels. And I've been, like I say, I've been fortunate, lucky to have been one of those speakers, have been a panelist, moderated panels, and did lots of social video type work with you way back in the day. Not that many years ago. Anyway, let's continue this. The personalized experience. I think AI, from a company standpoint, not a consumer using AI can take a look at your customer and it will know this is a customer that has bought this long, calls in all the time, asks the same type of questions, matches that customer up with a profile of many other customers. And the AI will actually help the agent create a far better personalized experience. And I see you're shaking your head. Yes, they can't see it if they're listening to it, but go ahead and share some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about how AI can help customer experiences, which often means bots or chatbots, for a while. I think this agent experience, and I would say supervisor experience as well, is new, and at least we are seeing in our pipeline a ton of interest and need and desire for, in particular, the supervisor experience. Because the idea here is that if you could have a co-pilot, a collaborator by your side, listening to everything and proactively offering you the best next information that you need, whether it's drop them into this process assistance so that they can do something faster and more automated. Here is my suggested reply that you should have to this. I can note that the sentiment is trending upwards or downwards, so do more of X or do more of Y. You cut out a lot of the cognitive overhead that is what is taxing and stressing and burning out employees. That is also rote or boring work for employees, which again, we also know is difficult and hard to deal with day in and day out. And that downtime and that waiting that customers struggle with and don't want to deal with. Nobody wants to wait because someone is balancing four chats at the same time or is looking up something. So being able to have all of the knowledge, all of the best outcomes in your hand when you need it, that's a huge game changer. And it also makes all employees more strategic and more proactive.
Yep. And it makes people smarter, you know.
Yes.
And we now train the agents on how to interpret information, not actually, you know, that's as probably more important than how do you interpret it and then communicate it in the way the customer needs it communicated. Do we need to be a little more caring? Are they upset? Do we need to de-escalate anger? But we get this information and we just use it in the right way. All right. The gap between digital customer support and what companies are provided or really working and trying to deliver. Is there much of a gap these days? Is it narrowing?
I think some folks are narrowing it. I think some folks are still struggling. And, you know, I think one of the things that's important here is that just launching a new digital initiative is not a success metric. You need to know what you're changing. We had a customer who will actually be at Interactions, had very rigorous success metrics. They had a triage team that they wanted to be able to disband to do different work. They wanted to reduce call volume in a certain vector by X percent. We exceeded both those metrics. And so it can sound like a difficult customer, but those are the ones I'm most thrilled by because they have a very clear goal of what they need to do and what this technology should assist them with. And so you do see some folks feeling like they're struggling or that there's a huge gap because they've launched a new bot or an IVA or a different self-service channel. But if it's not actually meeting the needs and resolving things for customers and for that brand itself, then it's better that they didn't even do it in the first place.
Yeah, I think the summary is don't put together a solution, be it an AI solution or any type of solution, without the end in mind. Just because it's there, oh, we need to do it because everybody else is doing it. No. What is it going to do? What's the outcome? And I want to know, not only is the outcome for the customer, I want to know what's it going to do to my people on the inside? Is it going to make it easier for them, harder for them? Because sometimes companies make the mistake of creating a solution that's great for the customer and adds three more steps to the agent or somebody else on the inside, creating a more difficult process. And you mentioned the word burnout. That's a quick way to burn out an employee and get them frustrated because what are they thinking of? They're making me do this now. You know, it's harder.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I actually ran a support team. And one of the main complaints is that we had changed to a piece of technology that caused one button click to be four. And solving that not only helped our queue, but it made everyone think I was a superhero. And so these small things are actually big considerations that everyone from the manager up to the executive level should be thinking about and listening to feedback from their employees.
Right. We are all really interested. I can't think of one company that wouldn't want to create a good experience for a customer, right? So we're all very interested in that. And I think the mistake that's sometimes made, and I'll even go as far as saying is often made, is the consideration inside is not given the same consideration as we do for the outside customer. And really important idea. So good knowledge management. This is important. And I know as I have some talking points here, it's the key to creating a great experience for customers. So, and by the way, traditional digital support was, I would go, let me step back for a moment. Many times customers make a phone call and want to talk to somebody. And I think it's important. And by the way, push back if I'm wrong on this. I think it's important that the agent that's talking to the customer say, you realize you could have done this on the computer before having a call, be put on hold, authenticate. Although, you know, it's easy just to type in and log into the system once you have your own password, right? But you could have done this. And I think it's important to educate customers because the first thing I want that agent to say is, so how did you get her phone number? Oh, I went on the website. Oh, so you were on the computer. You were on our website and you hunted for the phone number instead of hunted for the word that said support at the top, right? So now we open up support. And traditionally, a good digital support was type in your question, and there's a bunch of frequently asked questions that it'll match up to and give you an answer. And today, with generative AI, we can type in the question and it'll give it to us. And if we don't understand it, we can ask it to give us the same answer, but treat me like I'm in sixth grade, okay? And it will do that, which is brilliant. Maybe there's video tutorials, but the whole self-service thing is different. But knowledge management is making sure that whatever solution you're doing, traditional frequently asked questions or getting into the generative AI, we need to make sure the right information is there. So
absolutely. We say that AI management is actually knowledge management. And I would take that further. It's just in general data management. Your AI is only as good as your data, your knowledge. If you put garbage in, you might get garbage out. If you go to nice.com, our chat is actually running on autopilot, our own product. And I would say that was an incredible project for us because it helped teach us any of the pitfalls that we might have with the product so we could solve for it, which makes our customer experiences better, but also how we should talk with folks at implementation, because as we were our own customers, what we were communicating to the product team, we got to learn a lot from that to be able to build that end result. But really what Autopilot can do now is be able to give you any of the answers that you need without even having to search, without having to go to our knowledge base. It's pulling from that knowledge base and not making you read a whole article when you actually only needed a sentence or a paragraph. And so I think that's really the beauty of knowledge. And that is important because that is great for customer experience. That is what is being drawn on for the agent and the supervisor experience. And when you have those great agents who are searching and finding answers or finding nuances to those bleeding edge questions that aren't yet in your knowledge base, because of the way our AI solution works and Enlighten works, all of that data is in a shared pool. So you'll be able to pull those best nuggets out and create new knowledge, create new articles, create new data that again will be enter into the system and uplift everything else.
Yeah, I'm blown away. I think we're living in a time that really, you said it earlier in a conversation. It was about November of 2022 when the public was really introduced to the ChatGPT. And it's been, you know, like you said, for decades, well, I said decades, but you said for so long, we've been using AI and probably not even knowing that it was AI infused technology. And here we are today. It's just so the possibilities. My head is like, I'm talking to you right now. And if I sound like I'm all over the place, it's because my head is swarming with ideas, listening to what's going on in your world over there at NICE. It's fascinating. So anyway, I can go on and on. We are just about out of time. And you said some great things, by the way. AI management is really good data management. And if you get the data in there the right way, it'll create the answers that customers want in a way they want them. It'll create what seems to be a very personalized experience, which customers really want as well. I think that's just what's happening today is exciting, and it's a win-win for both the company and the customers that are involved with getting that information. So last question, you know it's coming. What's one last nugget of wisdom you want to share with us today?
I would say that in this world that we have folks who know they need to implement AI, first, get those outcomes, get those KPIs like we were talking about. But I would say, test it out, kick the tires, see what you can bring. One of the things that I find that is most useful for us with our customers, is we're able to take their knowledge and take their data and build what we call a proof of value, a POV, to be able to show how it will actually work within their systems, within their data, within their workflows, whether it'll scale, whether it'll meet their needs. And I think we really need to look for a partner who understands your needs and can actually meet it within the structure of your company and your technology. And so have them show you, have them test it out. I think that's the number one thing we're seeing for success and really being able to cut through the noise to figure out which solution is going to be the right one for you.
All right. So I said it was the last question, but I got to have a follow-up question.
Go for it.
How long should that process take?
Oh, I don't think there should be any hard and fast rule there. For us, though, if you give us data, we can spin something up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is something that we are talking about needing months and months. This should not be a long-term project. We know how fast this technology is moving. And so your vendor needs to move fast, too.
And price-wise, if we were talking about this 10 years ago, and I used to go to the IBM Watson conferences, and it would just like when I was young and I would see a computer room, this huge amount of equipment, and now we have a little mobile phone that's even more powerful than that huge room. Well, 10 years ago, what we're talking about could have cost millions of dollars and lots of computer power. Today, totally different budget, isn't it?
It's a totally different budget, and it's very variable. You know, it can be interaction-based. Some things, because you're decreasing some of the work, might be, you know, per transaction, quote, I'm putting air quotes around that,
mm-hmm.
More. But if you think about the value and the outcome and the money saved and the revenue driven from it, it is, again, something that is unbelievably valuable, which is also why I say we're talking about a proof of value, because it has to hit on all of those different vectors.
Right. So and it's like they say, advertising doesn't cost, it pays. Well, implementing the right AI solution shouldn't cost. Overall, it should pay back.
Yeah. And multi-vectors, it will help increase satisfaction across both employees and in your customers. So really, it is one of those solutions where if you do it right, you're going to see metrics uplift on all of the different vectors.
All right. Well, I know that my last one thing question turned into about three or four one things. So thanks for putting up with that. And thanks for playing our game. Actually, thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun.
Thanks, Elizabeth. This has been a great episode. This is why we call it Amazing Business Radio. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll have another great interview. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.